Violinist Laura St. John's musical artistry has been praised for its charisma, imagination, and passion. And harpist Marie-Pierre Longlemay has played principal harp in ensembles ranging from the Nice Opera Orchestra when she was still a teenager to the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra to the Berlin Philharmonic. And the two musicians have a new recording now of Bach sonatas, and they agreed to chat about it today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's just start right with the beginning. These sonatas are not for violin and harp. So I have to know, how did this project come to mind, and what was the appeal to play these particular works?
Well, we kind of started the whole idea of the project about 5 years ago, I guess, when I was going through Berlin. And Marie-Pierre and I, we met a long time ago when we were both at Curtis, and we used to do really kind of slightly idiotic but really fun things, like read through the B minor mass with all of us singing badly, and her, you know, playing the orchestra part on the harp, and yeah, Mozart concertos, Mozart operas, stuff like this. So it was just sort of a bit of a tradition. And so I was at her place, and she said, oh, let's read these Bach sonatas. They're so nice. I was like, oh, yeah, those ones. Yeah, they're nice, I guess. And for some reason, even though they are Bach and they're for violin, they never quite resonated properly with me. And I think I'm not alone there, because very few violinists play them. And it occurred to me with just sort of starting the first one that perhaps I had just been playing them with the wrong instrument. Mm-hmm. Because with the harp, there's so much more capability of nuance. There's so much more that can be brought out than with a harpsichord or even with a piano. And I was sort of astounded and suggested, well, okay, let's find some that we really want to do, and let's make a project out of it. Let's record these. Mm-hmm. You know, people should be hearing these. So in the end, we chose two violin and originally for violin and harpsichord sonatas, and two originally for flute and keyboard. And we chose these four primarily because they are not at all arrangements in the harp. It's every note as written. Hmm. For these four sonatas. I mean, there are some of them we did go through. Well, we went through all of the violin pretty much. But there's a couple where they just get so dense and so contrapuntal that Marie-Pierre would just sort of stop and say, actually, you know, this is just physically not possible on the harp. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to have to change anything that he wrote. So that's why these particular four. Also because they just sound gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also because the two we chose from the violin sonatas, I think, are the most beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, incredible.
Now, musicians, no matter what their specialty or their personal histories, really often have a very personal relationship with Bach. And so I would really love to know, for example, saw, Laura, that you played the Bach double when you were four with your brother. So that really intrigues me, and what that might have sounded like. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, my God, let's not imagine. But pretty squeaky, I'm sure.
But it does bear out that musicians do tend to have a very, very deep connection with Bach. And so I'd like to know, I'd like each of you to address that. What does Bach's music mean to each of you?
Well, I think it's, for me anyway, it was, Bach was among, I suppose, the first things I ever heard. Like, as a child, it was something I gravitated towards. Also, I grew up in Ontario, and you can't really grow up there without the kind of wonderful shadow, one might say, of Glenn Gould. And so, of course, my family, like every other Ontario family, had the Goldberg Variations, the Well-Tempered Clavier, and, you know, this is all on LP and stuff, and just growing up with that and the B minor mass, and of course playing a lot of Bach, the Bach double. I mean, who doesn't love that piece? It's just, even as a child, you immediately, it becomes familiar and you want to hear it again and again. And I mean, to this day, I love that. And yeah, I mean, it is very personal. And also, as a violinist, I mean, undoubtedly the greatest pieces ever written for solo violin are by him. And so just by default, we all love him. Mm-hmm. For that alone. Mm-hmm.
But that's not true for the harp, though. So, Marie-Pierre, what is
No, that's
your...
not true. But yeah. I think Bach, as a composer, he's the father of us all, in a way. I mean, he's really a father figure. And my first musical emotions were for his music, I must say. Also, mm-hmm. as a child. And it's funny how you can feel loved by a piece of music, and you know, even. And then you start thinking the person who wrote it loves you too. I mean, it's very strange. It makes you think, actually, that eternal life exists, even if it's not in the way the Catholic Church presents it. Mm. But it's very strange to feel this deep connection. And yeah, I mean, I would really say this love that comes from this music. And I always
image.
Wanted to play his music, of course, and it's very not adapted to the harp, but I changed my technique to be able to play it.
Well, that was actually my next question, is do you have to approach playing Bach differently from playing music either by other composers or from music from other eras?
Well, let's see. The harp is a pretty new instrument. I mean, it's the oldest of all instruments. I mean, it came from probably the prehistoric man going out to hunt with a bow and an arrow, and probably he noticed that it was making some noise, and then he added a few strings to his bow and started playing. And the harp is the ancestor of all string instruments. But the harp in its modern form, which allows the approach to all repertoire was invented by Sébastien Erard in France in 1810. And it's a very complicated instrument, which it is still a diatonic instrument, but it can pretend to be chromatic, and each string can be modified two times so that you get on each string three sounds. And I won't explain everything because it's too difficult. You would have to see it and hear it. Anyway, it's a perverse instrument in its way. And one big problem with the harp is that you can't stop the sound. So most of the harp music that has been written for this instrument takes this into account. And it's like water music, you know, everything is allowed to ring. And it's fine because it's been composed that way. But of course, in Bach, it doesn't work that way. So I had to not only think of the attack of the sound, but where the sound had to end, and develop a special muffling technique and articulation technique, because Baroque music very much lives from articulation as a mean of expression. Mm-hmm. So,
Laura, what about you? Obviously, there is Baroque music for violin, but the stylistic considerations for playing Bach really are different from playing music from other eras or by other composers. What special considerations did you maybe have to give for playing this music?
Well, for this particular recording, it's even more different because I play these a little bit differently with harp than I would even with piano, or even with harpsichord, actually, just because a violin can pretty easily overpower harp if it wants to. And also, you know, the point of us doing these with harp was to create these like amazing voicings and the nuance and the sounds that the harp is capable of. And so it would be really kind of weird if I just kind of drowned all that out. So in a way, it was interesting to sort of to learn restraint, I guess, and a sort of a quieter way of playing, but with the same amount of intensity that it would be at full volume. And occasionally, you know, I am at full volume in these pieces, but much more rarely than playing with other instruments or with an orchestra. Mm-hmm. And you know, you start your diminuendos a little bit earlier and crescendos a little bit later, and she does some amazing stuff. I mean, I want to hear that too.
Mm-hmm. So are there moments, can you let us take a peek in behind the scenes, maybe movements or passages that just really, they were favorites, or there was something really especially meaningful or powerful to you both where you just, you know, wow, you just felt we have arrived. This is something really, really powerful.
So for me, I would say Image Sonata, third movement. This is how I came to the sonata, actually. I just find it incredibly gorgeous. So on our album, this would be track 7 or
I think, yeah, actually 7, yeah. The C-sharp minor movement.
Yeah, C-sharp
minor. 16, yeah.
And Lara actually had a genius idea, which is to play pizzicato, the chords that are supposed to be bowed, and that gives an incredible color to it. And I think both instruments mix in a very, very, very subtle way.
Mm-hmm. I think, if we had to pick a favorite sonata on this album, I think we'd both probably go for that E major, right. WV 1016.
Mm-hmm. And once you start to know the sonata, actually the first movement is just as great, if not greater. But
it's
I think
amazing also,
for the first hearing, it's always the third movement that catches the people, and that caught me up.
I don't know. For me, in the last movement, when it goes into triplets, and it's kind of like it's in a sort of ABA form, and the end of the first A section, and it could be the ending, and in the end it is the ending, and then all of a sudden he goes from 16th notes into triplets, and it's just, you just gotta smile, like here's Bach in E major doing something it's so full of joy somehow. That for me, that's the middle section of the last one of that also is one of those moments where you just gotta pinch yourself.
So taking a little bit of a step away from this specific recording, you both have some pretty big jobs aside from this one CD. Marie-Pierre, for example, you've been the principal harpist for one of the world's great orchestras, the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. How is it different to play chamber music from your orchestral music? I mean, I would think that it would just be like a completely different animal.
Not completely different. It's just that I have to play many more notes when I play chamber music. But I think the specialty of our orchestra actually is to play chamber music. It's not an orchestra which just obeys the conductor. I mean, we try to make chamber music. And I would be very curious to hear how it would sound without a conductor. I'm pretty damn sure it would still sound very good.
And actually, just before we started on our harp violin tour, the Berlin Phil was here in New York, and I actually went to see one of their concerts. And it's amazing. These guys, they're all looking at each other all the time, like sometimes even practically turning in their seats. So they do really make it chamber music.
It's the first orchestra where I feel this, I must say. It's the big difference between the Berlin Philharmonic and other orchestras, I think.
Very, very large chamber group.
Yeah.
And Lara, you've got some interesting things going on off stage too, that you own and operate your own recording label, which has released this new Bach CD. I'm wondering where you find time for that and why that was a priority for you.
Well, I work very hard, and actually sometimes I don't find time, which is which can be a challenge, because especially when I'm on the road, when I'm playing a lot of concertos, it really takes up your sort of life force. You know, when there's a concert each night, it's very hard for me to sort of in the daytimes administrate. But the reason I began the label was to, it never really made sense to me that artists wouldn't be in artistic control of what it is they're recording. And I decided that I was going to change that for myself and henceforth always be in artistic control of anything that I recorded. And I started my company in 1999, well before just about anyone else. And I'm kind of ridiculously and shamelessly proud of it.
As well you should be.
So it's great. I mean, something like this project with Marie-Pierre, for example. I mean, I've done all sorts of different things. I've put out 10 different projects over the years since I began it, and I didn't have to justify it to anyone. You know, I thought it would be a fantastic idea. Marie-Pierre agreed to do it, and so we made it happen. You know, that's one great thing about an independent label.
Now, you both started playing very, very young. I guess, Lara, you were just 2 or 3 when you picked up a violin?
Well, 2 and a half, to be precise.
Okay, all right. And you were about 8 when you got your hands on your first harp, is that correct?
Yeah, which was old, actually.
Old, yes. So
yeah,
how
my comrades had studied earlier.
At what point, how soon did each of you really know in your gut that music was it for you, that this is my life's passion?
Well, I don't actually remember a life without it. Of course, I did start at a preposterously early age. And I guess it just, it was always there. It's definitely something I would not be able to live without. But I think because I started so young, I'm able to, whenever I see sort of a hole in my schedule, I actually take that time completely off. Like if I usually try to hit this for around August or sometimes December, and if I have 3 weeks without any concerts, I will actually not play a note. And I think that's actually a very healthy way of going about it, because well, obviously there's a lot more to life than just music. And I think, you know, what we do is so intense and so involved that sometimes we do kind of get these blinders on and it's all we can do or see. So I think personally, I think it's very healthy to just do something completely different about 2 months a year.
Mm-hmm. And Marie-Pierre?
And so about my relation, I mean, about my conviction that music was the thing for me. Well, I think it came at first from my teacher. I stepped into the classroom there in Nice, and this teacher couldn't, I mean, she was just passionate and wanted to turn every student of hers into a harpist. And I was very influenceable, so I just went with it. But when I realized that it was really what I wanted to do, was my first orchestra experience in a youth orchestra. And then I realized this is really what I love. Mm-hmm. I was 16 back then. Mm-hmm.
So you have this wonderful new successful recording, and you're on a concert tour now. I project ahead. Do you have any future collaborations in the works, or maybe on your wish list?
Well, I think I'm going to be executive producer for a solo CD of Marie-Pierre's. She's agreed to do a probably Schubert, possibly C.P.E. Bach. We're still in talks, you see. At this point, I'm putting on my label owner
hat. Okay, fair enough.
But so that, in effect, will be a project together. And, well, we're probably going to take this recital we've been doing, which is actually not just Bach. We're also doing the Saint-Saëns for violin and harp, but a piece written for Marie-Pierre by Sebastian Currier on this recital program as well. We'll probably do a few of those in Germany over the summer, in Berlin and around. So that'll be exciting.
Hmm. Well, we very much look forward to your future projects and to hearing all the exciting things that you're doing, and hope to catch you on your recital tour. And thank you so much for making time to chat with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Been a pleasure.